Lord Father, I thank you that we're able to come today and read your word and to learn from it. Lord Father, I pray that today as we look at Job, Lord, that we're not overwhelmed with grief or sorrow, but we're overwhelmed with your goodness. And Lord Father, I ask that as we continue in this book, that we would grab a hold of some hard truths. Lord Father, we live in a fallen world, and sometimes things aren't always as we want them to be, or a lot of times they're not. But that doesn't mean that you're still not on the throne. And so, Lord, help us to increase our faith. Help us to increase in our trust that you know exactly what we need. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Kindergarten through sixth grade can go to children's church. Kindergarten through sixth grade. We're going to be in the book of Job. We're still in chapter 1 today. We're going to be in 1 and a little bit in 2. And some of this is going to be recap, so we're going to continue to grow on the idea of suffering, that we live in a fallen world and that we will have suffering in our life. But what does that mean? Does that mean that God doesn't care? Does that mean that God has abandoned us? It doesn't mean any of those things. It means that we're in a fallen world. It means that there's going to be times in our lives where we just struggle, where we just have a hard time. There's going to be times where things are going to be out of our control. Man, we hate that. Don't you hate when things are out of your control? And the truth is, nothing really is in our control. It's just kind of an illusion. But we feel like we have everything under control, but it's not. And so we have to be careful that we don't put our trust and ourselves, even in those times where we feel like we have control, that God is still in control during those times. And we learned last week that when we hit rock bottom or we start to suffer, it reminds us of how much we need God. It reminds us of how much we need God. Now, we're going to build on that. We also said that last week that during our suffering, it can increase our praise because it reminds us that He is the King of Kings, and sometimes that suffering strips away all this stuff that we have, this extra stuff in our life, and so we look to Him. It helps us in the darkness to see the light, and we're going to see Job do that today. In Job 1, we're going to read verse 8 just to kind of give us a reminder of what's happened. You have it says the sons of God had come before God to give an account. And it says Satan was also there. And so this is all the spiritual beings showed up this day to give an account to the King of Kings. They had to answer to him. And then we found out that everything flows through the hand of God, that nothing that happens, happens without God allowing it. So in verse 8, though, we hear God say to Satan, this conversation, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you thought about my servant Job? There isn't anyone on earth like him. He is honest. He does what is right. He has respect for God and avoids evil.'" And you remember what we said? I mean, I would be thrilled if God would say some of these other things, isn't it? There's no one like him on earth. That would be great. But the question he asked is, say, "Have you thought about my servant Job lately? Or have you thought about my servant Job?" Man, what a question. And he's asking Satan. Really, what we find in that, if you look at the language, is that God is really looking into the heart and really the desires of Satan and says, "I know that you've been watching my servant Job." It's really, it's the language in there. I know you've been looking. I know you've been watching. And really, it's this idea implied. I know you want to destroy him, because I know you've been looking. And so what we see here is that Satan's looking for a weakness in Job. It's really kind of a military conversation, this idea. Have you thought about my servant Job? Have you been plotting against? Have you been strategizing against my servant Job? Really, have you been watching for his weakness? And this is what the enemy does. The enemy watches for our weakness. He doesn't have to watch close for me. You with me? I got plenty of them. But here he's like, "I've been watching and seeing," or Satan, "you've been watching and seeing." Why? Because the truth is Satan wants to destroy us all. He's trying to find that foothold. You see that in other places of Scripture. Don't let Satan have a foothold in your life. He's trying to find that foothold where he can start to wiggle his way in to destroy you. And so know this, that Satan, we know he can only be at one place at one time, but we also know that there are demons, his minions. I can't even use that anymore. I just think about the little yellow guys, but his guys, his whatever you want to call them, his army, that's seeking to find footholds in our lives so that they can destroy us. Now, for believers, we can't be destroyed as far as where we spend eternity, but we can be destroyed physically on this earth. And if he can't destroy us spiritually, he wants to destroy us emotionally and physically. He wants to take our peace from us so that he can take us out of the game. Remember the old days they had headhunters? You remember that in the games? They'd have headhunters and they'd try to hurt other players, take them out of the game. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take us out the game. He's looking for that weakness. And so with that background, we see that God says, okay, Satan, because Satan goes, the only reason he worships you is because you give him everything. If you take everything from him, he will curse you to your face. And God says, okay, Satan, I will let you have him, but you can't touch his body right now. You can take anything else from him, but you can't take his health. In chapter 2, we're going to see that God allows him to take his health. And if you want to talk about a bad day, have you had a bad day ever in your life? Not like Job. Job had a bad day. It says in verse 13, one day Job's sons and daughters were at the oldest brother's house. They're enjoying good food and drinking wine. This sounds good so far, right? During that time, a messenger came to Job. He said, your oxen were plowing. The donkeys were eating grass near them. Then the Sidonians attacked us and carried off the animals. They killed some of the servants with their swords. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he's still speaking, while that servant was speaking, okay? While he was still speaking, a second messenger came. He said, God sent lightning from the sky, or some translation says fire, but either way, sent lightning from the sky, it struck the sheep and killed them. It burned up some of the servants. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, this is servant number 3, a third messenger came. He said, the Chaldeans separated themselves into 3 groups. They attacked your camels and carried them off. They killed the rest of the servants with their swords. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. So far we have Job. He was a rich man. He was a man of prestige that we learned last week. He has all this money. When we say money, back at this time, you were considered wealthy for the cattle and the animals that you had. And so at this point, all the animals, all the cattle, all his wealth is gone. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, the fourth messenger came. He said, your sons and your daughters were at the oldest brother's house. They're enjoying good food and drinking wine. Suddenly, a strong wind blew from the desert. It struck the four corners of the house. The house fell down on your children. Now all of them are dead. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. What a day. I won't even say a day. What? Like, this all probably happened within just a few minutes because one messenger was talking and then the other messenger came. While he was still talking, that one came. While that one was still talking and the last one came, while they were still telling him. Couldn't even tell them everything that had happened. You're talking about a place where you can't digest what's going on in your life. This is Job. He didn't even have time to say, wait, why did these foreign people come and attack? Why did they take my ox? He couldn't even ask these things because before he could even ask the question, the next thing was on him. Have you ever been in a place where you were so just overwhelmed, you didn't know what to ask? You didn't know if there was any questions that you could ask. You just had to sit there and just kind of, it was just heavy, and just more and more things were being piled on you. This is Job. Probably the last messenger is the worst messenger. All of your children are gone. Your family that you loved, because we know he loved them, because earlier in the chapter it says that he would offer these sacrifices for his children. And that these children, they had this great family because they were together. In fact, when they died, they were together celebrating. They were having a big feast. Your family that loved each other so much, they're gone. And with that, remember, and this is secondary, really, his children are gone, but secondary to that is your future is gone. You don't have anything. You don't have anything now. You won't have anything in the future, because if you remember, the retirement plan of the time were your children. Everything is gone. And the truth is, there will be a day when everything's taken away from us. Like, no way. Yes. All of us, there will be a day when it's all gone. Maybe not like this. Maybe not where one messenger comes and the next one and the next one. Your bank account's empty and your house is falling in. Maybe that's not how it's going to work. But there's going to be a day when everything is taken away from us and we don't have anything left as we take our last breath. All the things that we have on this earth and this world will be taken away from us. Or maybe it's better said, we'll be taken away from everything that we have. And we won't have any of the things that we cling to so dearly. In fact, what's going to happen is with all the things, we're going to leave it here for people to fuss over and argue about. And the prized possessions, that the things that we have and we so long and love, are going to end up, you know, in the trash heap somewhere probably. Like, I kept this my whole life. Somebody's going to be going through your stuff. Can you believe they kept these cards from back when they were in third grade? This is so dumb. They're going to throw them away. They were such hoarders. You know, they're going to, all the things that we have, everything's going to be taken away. There may be a time on this earth where everything's taken away, where we're in a bed on our deathbed. There we are, living our last moments, maybe even our last weeks, and we don't have anything. The things that used to bring us enjoyment are all gone. Which would cause us to ask this question. Where do we find hope? Where do we find hope? Is your hope in the things that you have? For example, are they in the possessions that you have? The oxen and the donkeys and the sheep? And is your hope in your children? Where do we find hope? This is a huge question. Really, it kind of defines your life, doesn't it? Because in the darkest times of your life, when there's nothing else there, what are you going to turn to? And the things that you turn to, are they going to hold you up or are they going to let you down? This is the question for Job. In this darkest day that he has, where he loses everything, everything's taken away from him, where does he find hope? Some of us, we find our hope right now, our joy, in our hobbies. We find our hope, we find our joy in our bank account, our retirement. We even find our hope in our mate, in our husband or our wife. Francis Chan, I believe it was, or maybe it was David Platt, I can't remember. He says it this way. He says that husbands and wives, we make terrible gods. Sometimes we place our hope in our husband or in our wife, and we elevate them to a place that only God should have. And here's the problem. They can't live up to that standard because nobody can. And then we live the rest of our life disappointed or angry at them because we put a standard that they can't keep. And watch this, okay? That only God can fulfill. That we placed our hope in the wrong things. And if Job would have placed his hope in any of the things that were taken away from him, he has a problem, doesn't he? Like his life, what's it worth at this point? Well, Job goes further in verse 20. It says, after Job heard all these reports, he got up and he tore his robe. Why would you tear your robe? This is a way that you would mourn. He shaved his head. Again, a way to mourn. Then he fell to the ground and worshiped the Lord. Let me read that again. Then he fell to the ground and worshiped the Lord. He said, I was born naked and I'll leave here naked. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In spite of everything, Job didn't sin by blaming God for doing anything wrong. Look, don't get this all messed up and get this wrong where we just have to walk through life when things that are terrible and suffering is happening in our lives and we're having a heartache where we just walk around with this smile on our face going, everything's good, everything's all right, I got this. That's not what we see here. What we see here is the first thing that happens is that there is a time of mourning. There is a time to grieve. There's a time where Job takes, he tears his clothes. He shaves his head. This takes some time. This is a way to mourn. There are times in our lives that we need to mourn, and if we don't mourn, then it's a process that we've never worked through, and then we hold it too tight in our lives, and it starts to eat us from the inside out. We have to mourn. We have to move through this process of grieving. There is that time. We don't have to walk around as these fake believers. Everything's good. Everything's fine. That would be weird if Job would have done that, wouldn't it? He lost everything, and he gets up laughing and smiling and everything's good. I got this. Wouldn't that have been weird? You don't have to do. There is a time of grieving, and when things are happening in your life that are more than you can handle, there is a time to grieve. There is a time to mourn. But in that mourning, in that process of grieving, it should drive us to our Creator. It should drive us to our King. In that time of mourning, in that time of grieving, it should drive us to the place where we can find peace. The only place that we can find peace. So there is a time of mourning, but there is a time of worship in the middle of this mourning, in the middle of this grieving. It's like a storm. Storm last night. Anybody stay up late last night watching the weather? Yeah, some of you did. How many just slept through it? A few of you? Okay. Well, that's good for y'all. I used to sleep through stuff. I used to sleep through things. I slept through Katrina, believe it or not. I woke up and was like, man, this is bad. But now all of a sudden, it's like, man, I don't know. So I was up watching. But how many of you got in your safe place? How many of you heard that? I never heard that growing up. Your safe place? Y'all know what that is? Yeah. I always was just told to get in the bathroom. I don't know why you go to the bathroom. I guess because the pipes or whatever. But you got the tub in there. I guess back in the day you had metal pipes, you know, with the PVC and Plex. Now it don't matter. But anyway, but you'd get in the hallway. Anybody get in the hallway with your helmet? Please tell me you don't. I'm just checking. I'm just checking, all right. You got in the hallway with the helmet, It's this idea that there's this storm that's coming that's bigger than we are. And really, if something was happening and we knew a tornado was in the path, I mean, we really would do some crazy, like put mattresses on over top of us and helmets. And we'd do all kinds of stuff if we knew it was actually going to hit us, right? Because it's bigger than we are. It's stronger than we are. And there's nothing we could do about it. It's out of control. It's chaos. but it drives us to a place of safety. It causes us to run to a place of security. And so in our chaos here, what happens with Job is he has this chaos, this storm that's coming in his life, and it drives him to a place of refuge. It drives him to a place of safety. And so what happens in our life, that when we have these things, it drives us to the only thing that is stable in our life. And so here is God that is stable, and as we have this, really this ground under us that is shaking and moving. You ever been through an earthquake? Man, that's the craziest feeling ever. Okay, I've been in an earthquake in Virginia one time, and it really wasn't that big. And me and Lisa were in the living room. We go, whoa. We didn't know what to do. I don't know where the safe place is for volcano too. That's crazy. But an earthquake, I don't know where the safe place is for earthquake. I don't know. Okay, that's like when they make you get under the desk for atomic bomb safety. You remember that back in the... Okay, but like that's going to help. All right, but they get you there. I don't know. But anyway, the whole ground is, I mean, you talking about not feeling secure when the whole earth moves. And you're just, what you want is something that is sturdy and safe. And so what we do is in this time, we should do like Job and run to the Lord. And so in this time of grieving, it really leads to a time of praise, because if the world falls apart around us, God is still solid. If the world falls apart around us, God is still faithful. And Job has this great saying. He goes, I was born naked, and I'm going to leave here naked. I was born naked, and I'm going to leave naked. He goes, the Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. But he says, praise be the name of the Lord. Man, I love Job's attitude. I love how it drives his situation. It drives him to praise our God. Well, Job chapter 2 is kind of similar to 1. Kind of the same thing happens where Satan shows up with, as God calls all the spiritual beings to give an account. And same thing happens. God asks Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You still plotting on him. I see you still wanting to destroy him. He's faithful. God says he's still faithful. And Satan says, well, here's the reason why. You won't let me destroy his health. You let me take everything else, but you won't let me take his health. And that's the reason why he's still faithful to you. You have this hedge of protection around him. But if you take this away, if you take his health away, he will curse you. So God says, you can touch him, you can make him sick, you can do whatever you need to do, just don't take his life. Verse 7, then Satan left the Lord and went on his way. He sent painful sores on Job. They covered him from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Listen to how terrible it is. He got part of a broken pot, and he used it to scrape his skin. That's itching, folks. I've itched, but I've never itched like that. He did it while he was setting in ashes. This is also a time. Setting in ashes would be a grieving process. Verse 9, his wife said to him, are you still continue to be faithful to the Lord? Speak evil things against him and die. And Job replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. You accept good things from God, so we should also accept trouble when he sends it. In spite of everything, Job didn't say anything that was sinful. Here's what we find out. You have to be careful who has influence in your life, especially in times like this. There's a comedian, and I think I shared this, but and I never thought about this, and he was, I can't remember which Christian comedian it was, but he says, how bad did Job's wife have to be for Satan to be like, I'm going to leave her? Because God said you can take everything else. Like, you can take the children, you can take everything, but he leaves his wife. How bad does she have to be? And the comedian goes a little further. I like it. He goes, Satan's and the demons are going, hey, Satan, there's his wife. He goes, yeah, I know. I mean, how bad? And what we see is we see a glimpse of it, really. She's like, why are you continuing to be faithful? What's wrong with you? Look at everything that God has done to you. Just curse him and die. Be done with him. What are you thinking? Your life is terrible. God hates you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't want anything to do with you. And so what we find out is we have to be careful who influences our life. But because in times like this, people are going to try to speak into your life. People like to give free advice all the time, don't they? Unsolicited advice all the time. Tell you the things that are going on. Tell you how to make your life better. Anybody got some advice that's just terrible this week? Yeah? A few of you? Man, some people just give terrible advice. And we say stupid things when people are mourning too, don't we? Like when people are grieving and people are having a hard time, like we say dumb things to people. Like they're in the middle of a crisis and we'll say, you know, God's got a plan. That is not what we want to hear right now. That's so dumb. Don't say that to people. And like we'll be at a funeral. You know, God needed more than we did. God doesn't need it. That's so dumb. Don't say that. Like somebody's like, I just said that. Well, that's dumb. Don't say it again. And we do. We look and we're like, they look so natural. No, they don't. They really don't. We're so stupid when people mourn and are having a crisis and we don't know. Here's what you do. Now, Job's friends aren't great. They're not great. But there is one thing that they do at the end, towards the end of this chapter, that you can see that they did right. They just showed up for 7 days and didn't do anything. They didn't talk to him. They didn't do anything. He just sat there with him. When you don't know what to say, and we live in the South, and I get it, we want to say something. We want to fill the air. We don't want to just sit there. Sometimes when you don't have anything to say, just stay quiet. Sometimes you just need to be there with somebody. Sometimes you just need to sit there with them. And I've shared this story because it's one of those times that just impacted me. Just certain stories impact you, but it was a story about a brother who was going to give a toast at his brother's wedding at the reception. And he had practiced it for weeks. And so he gets up at the reception and he stands with his cup to give a toast. And he starts to give the toast and he can't speak because he's so broken up. He composes himself. He starts to speak again, and the tears come, and he can't speak. He tries one more time. He's like, I got this. I got it. He pulls himself together, and he tries one more time, and he can't. And then he just says, I toast my brother, and he sits down, disappointed because he had this big, long speech. And his father comes over to talk to him and console him. And he says, I'm so disappointed. I had this speech that I wanted to tell him everything that I really felt about him, how I looked up to him. And his father said, you said more in your silence than you could ever say with your words. Sometimes when people hurt, we should just show up. Not try to make things better. Because that's what we do when we say these things. Like, God needed another angel. No, we don't become angels, number one. And number two, God doesn't need anything. It stinks. It hurts. It's not good. Ultimately, death was not God's plan. Death came through sin. And God will do away with it one day. It wasn't God's original plan for us to be sick or hurt, brokenhearted. But because of sin, these things are in the world, and sometimes it just stinks. And life just isn't good. But when we do that, we have to understand our place in the world. When we get a better perspective, it puts these things really at a place of peace for us. Perspective leads to peace. And what is that perspective? This life is temporary. As long as it seems like it is, like it's forever, I've been here for a long time, this life is temporary. It's short. It's a small amount. It's not permanent. And that we learn from here, from this place, Job says, God has given me good things in this life. And really what he's saying is, I didn't even deserve those good things, but he gave me good things. Really what I deserve are the bad things, because I'm really, for us, as we look into the New Testament, we find out that we are rebellious, that we've turned away from God, that really we should be instruments of wrath, where God pours out wrath on us constantly. But if we have any good in our life, it's a blessing from God. So we learn our place in this world, really, that there is good. And all that good came from the Lord. Yes, there will be times of trouble, but really, those times of trouble are temporary. Even if it lasts our entire life, it's still temporary. Because this life is temporary. And sometimes the problems that we're walking through seem so huge, and like they're going to destroy us. And they only last for a season of our life. Can you remember something that you thought would destroy you 10 years ago, and now God's conquered it in your life? And now it leads to praise. It's temporary. Why? Because God is true and faithful. God is true and faithful. What we find from the book of Job, as we continue to look, we're going to find that God is always true, always faithful, and He is a big God. And that we're so small. Job and God will even have like this conversation, and God will be like, you're too little to understand my plan. I wish I could tell you my plan, but you couldn't understand it if I did. My plan's bigger than anything that you're experiencing right now. It's huge. That would be like us when we first have our child and it's a baby in the crib and we sit down and be like, all right, you're 2 months old. We're going to talk about the budget. We're going to talk about my work schedule in retirement. We can't comprehend. One scholar said it this way. It would be like us trying to explain to an ant how the sun works. Or why rain falls. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love us because we're simple compared to His complexity. It just means He can't explain it to us. Not because He doesn't want to. It's just because we couldn't comprehend it if He did. He gives us the things that we can understand and know. And what is the thing that we can understand and know? That He is true and faithful. That's what we can know. There's a few things, like a baby, 2 or 3 months old, they may not know a whole lot, but they know who their daddy is. They know who their mama is. They know who to reach out for in the times of trouble. They know who to cry for when they're in need. Like a child. So what do we do today? This may be one of the most challenging things we've talked about in a while. That in the middle of our mess, this is all you have to know. You cry out to your daddy. You remember when you were a kid and you would run and we were dumb back in the day. We'd run full speed on asphalt. Y'all remember that? And we would fall and scrape our knees and our elbows. And man, we got scars. Kids need more scars today. But you were little and you'd be running and your head would get ahead of you. I'm back at that age again, by the way. My head, if I start running too fast. And then I try to run faster and it doesn't help. But you're running and you'd scrape your knee. Or you would hurt your arm. And then you would run to one of your parents. Here's what's weird. Like they would hold you and things would seem to be better, but the pain was still there. Because you were in the arms of the one that loved you. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You're in life. And you've run too fast, too hard. And you've fallen and you hurt yourself or something's happened. Somebody pushed, but you're hurt. Can you run to your Father? I was born naked. I will leave naked. You've given. You take away. But God, You're always true and faithful. Church, will you stand? Well, Father, I thank You that we have Your Word, and I thank You that You are a faithful Father. That in the middle of our